Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning, talking some Titans. And to help us do that, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our buddy Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I am delightful. Just had the first sip of coffee, so I'm ready to go.
I'm doing pretty good, too. I saw a lot of clips from Caleb Williams at Bears Family Night over the weekend. Made me feel good.
It looks really good right now.
Yeah, it's
really
going great good. Out there.
Is he having some tantrums out there? What's going on?
He's not having some tantrums. He's having some difficulty locating his wide receivers at the moment. But other than that, things are going well. It's just practice, though. Who cares?
His towards is officially broken.
Yeah. I'm sure that nobody will panic in Chicago. Speaking of practice, Corey, apparently Brian Callahan letting loose on the offense at the end of yesterday's practice. What do you make of the fact that the offense has not really had any traction yet to this point in camp? How concerned are you by that?
Well, yeah, this has obviously been something I've been thinking a lot about the last couple of days and just trying and talking to guys. You know, one thing they do feel good about is the run game. I think the offensive line feels good about what they're, you know, the lanes that they're starting to open up there. And they're not running the ball a ton in practice. I mean, they're throwing it a lot. You know, Bill Callahan talked about they're not helping the tackles at all right now. You know, they're just letting them go one-on-one with people. So they're not chipping. They're not giving them a tight end and pass pro. They're just going straight up and working on technique and some of those things. So, you know, so there are some things kind of stacked against them a little bit. I think, you know, but what concerns me most, and I know this is all a developing process, so I'm not condemning anyone of anything, but it's what concerns me most. I'd like to see more plays made from the pocket. I mean, I'd like to see, you know, more passes come out of the pocket and, you know, hit receivers and make plays at that point. It, you know, virtually every big play you see on Twitter has come from extending the play almost a ridiculous amount of time at times. And there need to be more timely plays out of the pocket, and that's what needs to develop, in my opinion. But who am I?
Do you think, Corey, that there is an overarching issue with intangibles? I mean, I have never heard a camp where there's this many different voices who are observing, who are talking about energy, focus, sloppiness, just a lack of oomph. And then, of course, you culminate with the coach, the mild-mannered coach, finally losing his bleep on them yesterday. Do you feel like there's an intangible issue, you know, beaten down by losing, not enough leaders, whatever it may be, that is going to intensify what are already serious issues with having enough good football players?
Well, look, you know, you pick first in the NFL draft here. So they're a team building from the basement, correct?
Oh, yeah.
So,
you betcha.
Yeah, I mean, so you were just the worst team in the league. So you better believe your confidence has taken a hit. I mean, you know, J.C. Latham didn't change his body for nothing. Jeffrey Simmons didn't change his body for no reason at all. These guys looked at that 3-14, what it meant for the team and what it means for them personally, and they said something's got to be better here. So, you know, this team, you know, we talk about competition. Competition comes, you know, when both sides make plays, right? And so, you know, that's where confidence comes from, too, is making plays. And so I think this team needs to make some plays. You hear things chirping up and getting more competitive when both sides start making plays. Oh, Saturday was their most competitive practice. I thought Saturday was a good practice. It was a competitive practice on both sides making plays. And then, you know, yesterday, you know, was just kind of a turd. And, you know, and that was offensively. The defense made plays. It wasn't good, but I mean, I'm not going to say I haven't seen bad ones in the past. Okay. So I'm not going to overreact to yesterday, but I know you're asking a broader question. And my broader answer is, it would be crazy to think that their confidence didn't take a hit. It's one of the reasons that they worked so much on competition in the offseason. Mike Mularkey did the same thing when he took over a football team. That was absolutely dreadful. And so, you know, I'm confident that they know the issues and they're trying to overcome them. And then the other leadership issue you're talking about, they know it's an issue. It was one of the things they wanted to work on this summer, was developing leaders, because their core players, their core leadership group is gone. Derrick Henry, Kevin Byard, Ben Jones, those guys are all gone. They need a new core leadership group. That group needs to come to the surface to help pull this whole thing forward. So, you know, I think the answer to a lot of those questions are yes, but I don't think that they should be surprising when you have a team that just went 3-14.
What do you make of how the receiving room has come to? I mean, you mentioned it. The offense is struggling right now. The passing game has not been able to gain much traction. Who is, you know, we know what Ridley's going to bring to the table. We know they brought in Lockett for a specific role. How do you envision at this point, based on what you've seen in camp, kind of who those third and fourth guys are going to be for this offense?
Well, I mean, I think Van Jefferson is safe. You know, I think he's the safe play. He's a pro. He's been around it. He's made some plays every day. So I think he's your new NWI, you know, in the offense. You can put him out there and be okay. But I do like the two young guys, and I think that they are coming along, and I'm really interested to see how they do in these joint practices and preseason games, because, you know, they have upside. You know, Lockett and Jefferson don't have upside. They've either got flat side or downside. That's all that they've got left. Those guys aren't going to get better. And, you know, when you're a 3-14 football team, you're not looking for guys who are on the downward track or on a flat track. You're looking for guys who are ascending. So, you know, I think the sooner they can get those guys on the field, the better. And then the other guy that I'll die on the mountaintop for is Bryce Oliver. I think, you know, he's looked good again, and I know he's going to play special teams, but I think he can play offense for this football team. The question is just, you know, with the numbers, how do you get him enough snaps with the other guys you want to keep?
Well, speaking of, you know, which way the arrow's pointing on careers, it does seem like right at this point, Corey, I think Dan Moore probably stabilizing things a little bit. Yep. You know, again, we'll
Absolutely.
See. You know, but looks like he's going to be an upgrade. To what extent, we don't know, but to some extent. And then maybe Kevin Zeitler looks like a guy who, you know, has his best days behind him a little bit. Now, I think, you know,
he's struggling with Jeff.
So, like a lot of people are going to struggle with Jeff, especially with Jeff, like, the way he's moving right now. I think others will struggle with him. But are you concerned at all about Zeitler?
A little bit. I mean, look, when Roger Saffold came in, it was a struggle for him at first, too. And, you know, the Titans are doing things a little differently than Zeitler is used to, and he is going against 98. So while I think you'd be a fool to see what's going on now and not go, wow, that's not ideal. But Zeitler's been around long enough, and, you know, this isn't a hope situation. We hope Zeitler's a good player. Zeitler's a good player, and I'm confident he'll figure it out. So, I want to see him play better, but I'm also confident that he will. So I guess there. And Dan Moore is unquestionably an upgrade from what they've had on the left side. He's athletic. He's a willing combatant. He is a football player, not a giant man in a football uniform. That will definitely be an improvement. I'm confident of that.
So, Corey, the Micah Parsons situation in Dallas looks like it is deteriorating. Yeah. Now, if you ask Jerry Jones, nothing to worry about, but we'll see what happens. I guess my view on this is, like, until I see one of these guys actually get traded, I just assume it's probably going to work out with the team that they're currently at. But let's just play this out a little bit. Let's say, you know, they just can't figure it out, and Micah Parsons just doesn't want to go back to the negotiating table with the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. We know that pretty much every team in the league is going to be giving them a call. So if you're the Titans, would you be comfortable giving up what's probably going to be a couple first-round picks, maybe plus something, to go make a pitch for Micah Parsons? Would that be something you would do if you're the Titans based on where their roster is?
I could include one first rounder. I don't think I could include two. I'm not one for building in trades and free agency. I'm more from developing with him. But he's 26 years old and just turned 26 years old. So, you know, you trade for him, you should get his 4 or 5 best years. So I don't mind trading a one because you should get your one's worth out of him. And it's also going to cost you, but, you know, he's a Vontae Mack for any team who gets him. He's transformative for their defense. I mean, that's all there is to it. I mean, he is a tackling machine and a pressure machine. And, you know, you think about a Titans defense that went Simmons, Sweat, you know, Oladejo and Parsons. And all of a sudden you're like, wow, you know, that's something. But, you know, I don't think that's going to be the case, but, you know, Jerry's in his own world.
Yep.
And, you know, like, I understand you can't pay everyone everything. And I do understand that Mike Parsons has had some injury problems. He has missed some times. I just don't ever think it's a good idea to embarrass or call out or question your star players in public when they're, you know, one of the best players you've ever drafted on that side of the ball.
I mean, you're not going to get him with one first, Corey. You got to ante up, man. You got to ante up.
Well, what did the Bears give to get Khalil Mack?
2 first-round picks plus a bunch of other picks.
2 firsts, a second, a third, and something else, right?
Yeah. And you know what? I didn't hate that trade because the Bears, I think that was when they had Cutler, right?
I believe. Yeah. Was it?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. That was when they went to the NFC Championship, and Cutler had to leave at halftime because of the knee injury. So the Bears were in a position where they thought this trade wins us the Super Bowl. And I think if Parsons gets traded, that's the team that trades for him, the team that thinks this wins us the Super Bowl. I mean, the Buffalo Bills, you know, this gets us over the hump and wins us a Super Bowl.
Imagine Parsons on the – yeah, or the Chiefs. But imagine him on the Bills.
I'm talking about the team that finally wants to get over the hump, the Chargers, okay? You know, the Chargers can put the Bosa on one hand and him on the other.
Jags.
Or is Bosa not there anymore?
Down there in Duval,
Bosa.
Yeah. I mean, the
Joey's
are close.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. Joey's in Buffalo.
You know, if the Jags could trade for Parsons, Tyreek Hill, AJ Brown, Patrick Mahomes, Lane Johnson, they could get there.
Dresser win. Have you ever heard of Dresser win before?
No.
He's the Chargers' fourth quarterback from Dresden, Tennessee.
He's the Rams' fourth quarterback. He's not the Chargers' fourth quarterback.
Dang it, I screwed it up. Jeez.
I thought he was related to L.E. Funt.
Corey, great stuff as always, my friend. Appreciate you taking time to be with us, and we will talk to you next week.
All right. Long way to go. Long way to go. But it's okay to question. Okay?
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say. So here we are.
I totally agree.
Especially after last year, when we were told every box was checked.
Yeah, well, there's that. Thank you, Corey.
Yeah.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest. Brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. We'll react to what Corey had to say. Plus, Jeremy Fowler rolled through Titans camp this weekend. He's come out with some news and notes, one of which is going to make Rex Road look like a genius. The other of which that really caught my eye, pretty interesting. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Appreciate Corey Curtis for being with us in the last segment. Jeremy Fowler has come through Titans camp. He's on his training camp tour, he and Dan Graziano. And they have made their way around to different spots. They've been in Jacksonville and Indianapolis and Baltimore and Chicago and all over the place. Well, they went through Nashville this weekend, and Jeremy Fowler has come out with some news and notes from some of his takeaways from being around the Titans. He's got some comments from Brian Callahan in here. He's got some comments from Mike Borgonzi in here. It's a pretty interesting mailbag that he's put together here. But he says some of his kind of takeaways, one of them makes You look like a genius, just right in lockstep with you. Quote, this is from Jeremy Fowler. I don't often feed the best shape of my life camp themes, but goodness, does Jeffrey Simmons look impressive. He's down 20 pounds, looks a lot lighter. Quote, if it's not chicken or fish, it's not on the menu, Jeffrey Simmons said. Simmons is not a volume sack guy, but is hoping for more pass rush production. The Titans don't have that guy who can go get a sack on 3rd and 7 late in the game, and Simmons hopes to fulfill some of that. So Joe Rexroth, not the only one that is raving about Jeffrey Simmons and the way that he's looked in camp.
Well, I look like a genius as long as he's not dumb, too. As long as we're both not dumb.
There is that.
We might both be dumb.
We'll have to wait and see.
I mean, look, I tried to couch it last week. I'm like, look, I don't want to overreact or anything like that. It's one of those things when, again, when you don't see someone for a long time, sometimes the changes are more obviously dramatic when you do. So, but hey, he has put himself in position to have, I think, a very big year. I don't know if that means he's going to, you know, have a 12 sack season or anything like that, but yeah, he looks really good. So, good eye, Jeremy.
Another interesting note from Jeremy Fowler says the Titans are open to adding on defense and free agency. Says pass rusher and corner would be the two spots to watch there. And he singles out somebody by name, which is always interesting when Fowler does this. One name to watch, veteran defensive end Preston Smith. Now, we know that edge rusher is light for the Titans right now. And Preston Smith is still out there. I've watched a lot of Preston Smith over the years. He's 32 years old. It kind of seems like he has fallen off the table a little bit over the last year, which is why he's still out there, by the way. But he had 4.5 sacks last year combined between Green Bay and Pittsburgh. Still out there at the age of 32. But Jeremy Fowler naming Preston Smith by name as somebody to watch as it relates to the Tennessee Titans, Joe.
Get excited. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if Preston Smith, if he's in great shape and everything and ready to go, that he could come in here and help a little bit. That's the state of their edge group.
Yeah.
So, but again, you'd rather, like, Allie Gay has made some plays, Jalen Harrell is around. Like, you, and obviously Oladejo is going to have a key role, but you'd rather some young guys start to get to the point where, like, okay, you know what, we don't need to go get some 30-something guys sitting around in August.
Also says, while the Titans have been pleased with Brandon Allen's presence as the primary backup quarterback, they're going to monitor free agency or potential trades for veterans over the next month. Allen looked capable of handling QB2 duties from what I saw. He's been productive in camp. This from Jeremy Fowler, saying that the Titans are going to have their eye on quarterbacks around the league for a potential backup quarterback position there.
Yeah, I think that they should. Hey, look, I mean, apparently Tim Boyle's even having some moments.
Much to the chagrin of Kuharski.
Throwing it around
noted
the yard.
Noted Tim Boyle hater.
Yeah, noted Tim Boyle hater. Who, by the way, is going to come in here on the first day of Jake Lyman's show.
That is right? Correct.
Possibly spit some hatred toward Tim Boyle. Who knows?
Who knows what will happen. But I found that interesting. You know, he named Preston Smith by name as somebody to keep an eye on for the Tennessee Titans. And talked about, you know, his impressions of Jeffrey Simmons. I mean, look, he goes through the list here. He talks about Callahan and kind of the job that's in front of them, pulling themselves out of being the worst team in the league. And, you know, Mike Borgonzi, he talks to him and as a part of this piece here. And basically, Borgonzi's not throwing a win total out there in terms of what he's expecting, but just wants to see him get better, which we've heard from Mike Borgonzi a few times now. You're not going to see those guys be like, yeah, you know, I'd like to see about 7-8 wins from the quarterback this year.
Well, you know, if we don't win 9 games this year, everybody's fired. Yeah. Does anybody give a win total?
I don't think that happens very often.
GM is out there and say, we better win 11, yeah, man. Our over-under is
10.5. What's our FanDuel over-under? We better hit it.
Yeah.
Have a better idea.
Nice. Oh, God. Never gets old.
Idea and quarterback. Or quarterback, excuse me. Keep it going.
Quarterback.
I like their maps.
Yeah, interesting report. You know how it is. Jeremy Fowler does a good job, and obviously he has a good eye.
Yeah,
out sure. there. But you know, these are always. This is like they're always generally positive, right? Now it is. I read this and I didn't detect any. Oh my! Because some of this, like on the NFL Network, it really does get like everybody's amazing.
Yeah, they're all making
everybody,
the playoffs.
Everybody, yeah. But that's what it is. It's the NFL Network and it's right. The in-house, so like, let's all get excited. Get all the fans excited. There's reason for optimism everywhere. Some of it gets a little bit over the top and very annoying at this point, at this time of the year.
Now, Kuharski has texted us and says, don't fall into this getting excited about a three versus threes. Look, I'm just trying to
calm down.
I'm just trying to get you to show the requisite respect for Tim Boyle.
I was told
still motoring around in this league right now.
Right, I was told that Tim Boyle couldn't throw the ball 8 yards in front of him. So I mean, I'm just saying, like, it looks like he can actually like grip a football and let a spiral rip out of the hand. So good for him.
Eli from Smyrna says Preston Smith will retire after 2 weeks after the Titans signing. Well, maybe. Look, if he plays 2 weeks, then, you know, makes it farther than some of these guys when they sign with the Titans.
He'll get to hit some of the good food spots in Nashville. You know, it's a very good food city. You know, have a little fun. Call it a day. Call it a career.
One texter says, I'm hoping to God one of the quarterbacks from the Giants hit the market. And Jameis? You Jameis out there?
So it's Russ. Yeah, they had Russ, Jameis, and Dart. We know Russ and
Lose
Dart.
Lose is really not in my vocabulary.
Darn right it's not. You know, they had the opportunity to go get Jameis this offseason and did not do it. So I wonder what the interest level would be there.
Yep. And meanwhile, someone texted earlier, like, how about Shadur, I don't know, having more success or something than Campbell? Shadur Sanders, like, didn't even participate the other day, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't read too much into the Shadur Sanders stuff right now.
I mean, he's hurt. And also, all the word is that Dylan Gabriel has outperformed him. So if you want to talk about me being a genius. Pump the brakes.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll get back into our offense conversation that we had earlier in the show. Has not gained traction to this point in camp. How concerning is that? Are Titans fans actually having an open mind on Brian Callahan heading into the year? A lot of thoughts on that we had earlier in the show. We welcome those again on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll have that coming next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Shout out to Dave on the text line. Says, is Boyle, is he blurred out? we must give the Tennessee Athletic Department the full share of crap it deserves for this. It is truly incredible.
I can't believe you didn't see this yesterday. It was on the wall. Twitter is like, who is the blurred out quarterback? Who did it?
I was at a crawfish boil, not eating crawfish. So, but yeah, it's amazing. Like, this is truly an amazing.
Under threw the ball by 5 yards. Show me who the quarterback is.
This is like Shy Tuttle getting hit in the face by falling on a helmet. I mean, this is amazing. I need Butch Jones to actually be their coach now. This would be the most perfect Butch Jones while.
What do we want from our media?
Yeah, yeah.
What do we want from our media, guys? You're asking me too many tough questions.
Oh, God.
Let's go read the P charts in the bathroom over here.
Like, I need, I'm going to FOIA a bunch of stuff from Tennessee. Open records. I need to see emails like, hey, guys, we got a situation here. Someone threw an interception in a drill. We cannot let anyone know the identity of the man who threw the interception in a drill.
Brandon says, I guess it was the guy who led the country in interceptions last season. Blurring it was Ellerbee's idea. It always comes back to Ellerbee with Brandon.
I know. It's maybe we're totally wrong, and it's like an offensive lineman who just looked out of shape. He's hey!
There was this theory.
Blur him out.
I forget who tweeted it. I don't think it was Sparks. I'm trying to remember who tweeted it yesterday. But it was like, well, it kind of looks like it may not be a quarterback. And then people were like, well, why would you blur out some random dude and not a quarterback in this situation? I have no idea. So somebody got blurred out in the video yesterday. And it appeared to be fully closed, so it wasn't that.
So, okay. So I just want to. So obviously, it's not like it went online and then they did. Like, this was.
No, I think it was originally blurred out.
Originally, like, we are not putting this out until we get the
blur.
Until
we get the blur in there so nobody can identify the quarterback who threw this horrendous interception.
I mean, it wasn't even.
It was an underthrown ball.
Underthrown ball on a drill.
Yeah. It was an underthrown ball.
God. I can't get over this, Tennessee. I'm not going to let this go.
The hype will better be asked about this at some point.
I mean, seriously, you have to ask. You have to ask,
Josh, can you tell us who the quarterback was that was blurred out in your social media team's video the other day that threw a pick? Fans are wanting to know. Rex Rhodes wanting to know.
Or just ask who threw the pick.
Yeah.
Who threw the interception?
Yeah.
No one's going to ask that.
It's like that information is redacted.
They're not going to ask.
The amazing part to me continues to be, like, if you have to go to that length to edit the video where you got to blur out the quarterback, then maybe just don't put the video out there.
Right, like, right? Why is that? Right? Why was that clip so important? I mean, who was the DB? Do we know?
I don't know who the DB was.
I mean, it was good play. Good play by the DB. Yeah. Kind of a gift.
Yeah, it was a bad throw.
So it's like, if we're going to throw – so let's show the play, which – it doesn't really make anybody look good.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah.
And by the way, their social, like their media team up there is pretty good.
Oh, man.
Like,
it's no pretty question. Collected.
But this is an interesting one.
No,
interesting
their production, look. I would argue their production on things is probably industry leading. And now you got Mike Keith out there. Yeah,
it's really good.
I want to know what Mike Keith thinks about this blurred
out
quarterback.
Did Mike Keith blur the quarterback out the video?
Should we get Mike Keith
Hey, Mike, who's quarterback? Good stuff. Good stuff.
We're going to find out who that was.
Speaking of quarterbacks, the offense for the Titans failing to gain traction at this point of training camp. Now, Saturday, apparently, you know, we heard Corey Curtis talk about this a few minutes ago. One of the best practices of camp. The offense looked better. Cam Ward didn't turn the ball over, and it was like, okay, maybe this is the practice where, you know, the passing game in particular starts to turn around a little bit. And then they followed it up on Sunday with a practice offensively that was poor enough where the coach just started yelling at everybody at the end of practice yesterday. So, on the whole, say for a day or two here or there, Joe, it kind of sounds like the offense, when they're trying to throw the ball and get work done out there, has not gone very well. And we've talked about the interceptions with Cam Ward and all those things. But, you know, yesterday was, I believe, day five in a row of padded practice. Their fifth padded practice in a row. And it just doesn't feel like the offense has been able to gain much traction at this point. So what's our concern level over that? That led to a conversation earlier in the program about Brian Callahan, and we will certainly get back into that here in the next few minutes. But on the surface, kind of viewing all of that together and Callahan apparently losing it a little bit at the end of practice yesterday, what do you make of all that?
Yeah, well, I think Callahan losing it, I think that's something that probably happens with every coach in every camp at some point. He is obviously a longer fuse guy than a lot of people, so it must have been pretty bad. I'm actually, speaking of Kaharski, I'm going through all of his stuff from yesterday, including that Xavier Woods and Imani Hooker both dropped picks that Cam Ward threw to them, but that they dropped them. We also saw, by the way, I think it was it Saturday or was it Friday, the ridiculously good throw that Ridley dropped.
Yeah.
That, you know, there should have been a touchdown. But, I mean, even, you know, like Easton Freeze, A to Z Sports, I mean, I think a word he used was disgusting. I think disgusting is a word that he used. So, I mean, there's ugly. I mean, it sounds like it was just a bad, you know, confidence is low, energy's low, execution's low, and no one is angrily breaking out of it, so the coach angrily expressed himself. I am interested to hear from Kaharski exactly how fiery was this, you know. But, I mean, look, we've seen it with Will Levis last year, and there was a famous dressing down of the Bengals that he did when he was there. As
I mean,
OC.
Terry McCormick described it this way on social media yesterday. He said he ended practice with a profanity-filled tirade at his offense. Is the way that Terry McCormick described it. So a profanity-filled tirade is what Terry McCormick said.
And look, if you cover the Tennessee Titans, you, like, profanity-filled means something. It may not mean something for Brian Callahan, but you just came away from Vrabel,
yeah,
who brushes his teeth with F-bombs. So that's some serious stuff. Now, again, at this point, they've gotten used to kinder, gentler coach behavior, but it sounds pretty fiery.
It does. So I don't know. We'll see how the offense responds to that. I mean, they're not back out there till Wednesday, right? So it's not like, and it's again a situation where you've got the coach doing that to end practice and then you don't hear from him after, right? Like, he had his press conference before practice. So a situation yesterday where it would have probably been nice to be like, have him stepping off the field after having just absolutely blasted his team and then stepping up to the podium and having a press conference. That would have been nice. But
yeah,
we did not get that yesterday.
Yeah, man, it's tough. I really don't like this. I really don't like this. Let's talk about everything that might happen today. Oh, yeah, I guess you can ask me about the yesterday stuff, too, if you still care. Sometimes, yeah, it's like that was like really wanted your take on that. Okay, so let's talk about what will happen today, and then all this stuff will happen, and then you have to sit there for 24 hours. And I just don't think that serves the people who are following the team very well.
I would agree.
Fans/media.
I would agree. And then, you know, Brian Callahan, you know, when you start talking about the offensive struggles, it's like, well, the offense is his baby. And we know there's a rookie quarterback coming in, and it's still training camp, and I'm not going to sit here and talk out of both sides of my mouth. I've talked to you before about, like, the limitations of how much I care about training camp. You know, I'm not saying that you can never derive any meaning from it whatsoever, but it's one thing for the offense to be struggling in early August. It's another thing for the offense to be struggling in the second week of September. So when that happens, then you'll probably start to see me panic a little bit more. But it's not – I understand if you're a Titans fan – and with how bad the offense has been the last few years, the last thing you want to hear about beginning camp with a new quarterback that you're really excited about and you're hopeful for moving forward is the offense struggling to this point. You would rather have it the other way.
You said when, not if.
Well, we'll see.
Is that a Freudian slip?
Maybe.
Or maybe it's just
it may just
what
be
we
reads,
all know to be true.
Here.
Yeah. Look. That first game at Denver, that's not going to be pretty, guys.
I don't think it's a hot take to – this could be a bit of a process here for the Titans this year. I mean, I do look at the end of the schedule and it's like, good Lord, if you could somehow survive and find yourself like in a spot where you're just not totally out of it by the time, you know, late November rolls around, then you may give yourself a shot to at least make some games at the end of the year interesting. But I think it's going to be a tough process to get there.
You also might play yourself out of the top overall pick at the end of the year.
Well,
so
there's also that.
Don't do that.
There's also that. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland to the program. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Man, you remember the first Happy Gilmore when he's walking around cussing? Like, this is when he first got on tour, and he's walking around cussing, and they're thinking about kicking him out, and the TV's just, like, blurring everything out. I hope it was something like that. Like, I hope it was so bad. You know, like, just over the top. Because they said last week, they were like, somebody needs to bring energy here. This does not feel normal, you know. So whatever. Maybe he had in his head like, if they screw up, I'm blowing up today. So I don't. It just seems like too coincidental that people were saying, you know, multiple days in a row that there's no energy, and then a really calm guy loses his cool. So I don't know. It seems like maybe it was premeditated.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it. A lot of Happy Gilmore discussion on the program lately.
Yes. I hope everybody's seen part. Have you seen part two?
Not yet. I got to get on that.
All right. I'm getting mostly agreements with people like, yeah, it was fun. Some people thought it was supposed to be, you know, Academy Award winner. Yeah, I don't know. Premeditated? Yeah, I hope not. You'd rather that be in the moment, genuine,
yep,
pure fury. It sounds like the practice was bad enough for it to be genuine in the moment. I mean, I'm sure he didn't expect them to be this bad, right, on Sunday. Now, it was a fifth padded practice in a week. So you also do keep that in mind. It's a lot, especially today in today's NFL. That is a lot. So I think there's some level of kind of beating the team down a little bit here that has to be premeditated, right? But hopefully the tirade was genuine. He doesn't have many of them.
I mean, I would expect that it was. Like, it's hard for me to believe. It's like, I'm walking into practice today, and the moment I don't like something, I'm just going to lose it on somebody.
I'm mad at you guys!
Yeah, like, well, the question that we really didn't get to the bottom of was when he was yelling at all these people, was the hat on forward, was the hat on backwards? I don't know. That's what we got to get to the bottom of the next time he goes on some tirade.
Or did he
stomp on
it? You got to
have the cameras out there. Did he stomp?
Throw it down and stomp on it.
There's a lot
of
things.
That's a good one.
That we got to figure it out. We'll continue the discussion on Brian Callahan coming up next. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5 The Game.
This team offense has not really scored a lot of touchdowns in the red zone so far, mm-hmm, in camp in those periods. Is that an area of concern?
Concern, no. We've been in the high red zone a bunch. haven't worked down to the low. We got more red zone work today, so actual focused red zone work where we're starting down inside the 12. But yeah, I would like to see more movement in the red zone in the periods that we've had. But we got a lot of work to do in the red zone in general. That's probably one of the harder areas. A lot of our early focus has been on third downs, which has been great. And now we'll shift into the red zone today and get some more work. But yeah, we got work to do there for sure.
That's Brian Callahan over the weekend discussing the work to be done on the offensive side of the ball, in that instance, particularly in the red zone. Offense has struggled to this point in camp. We're taking your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. Joe, we had a discussion about Callahan earlier in the show, and basically it boiled down to, you know, look, we've heard from Titans fans in the offseason, and we've heard from a lot today that are just out on Callahan. They have zero confidence whatsoever. They think he's a dead man walking. I think Mark from Nashville used the lame duck head coach phrase earlier. And there are others that say, you know what, I've got an open mind. Quarterback play was so bad last year. Roster was bad, so we'll see if he's got some answers this year. You know, I've said it. I'm approaching Callahan with an open mind this year with the understanding that the minute that things start to go wrong, he is going to be the one that gets the blame, right? Like if Cam Ward, whether it's having to do with coaching or just being a rookie in the NFL that's taking his lumps, if he's not good out of the gate, people around here aren't going to blame Cam Ward. They're going to blame Brian Callahan. Like that's the position that he's in right now after having gone 3-14 and being, in some cases, just not competitive last year. So the odds are stacked against him heading into this year, particularly if you're thinking about, like, is Brian Callahan going to be the head coach of the Tennessee Titans by the time that new stadium opens up? The odds would tell you probably not, but I don't think that he's just some foregone conclusion that he's fired at the end of this year. It has been an interesting exercise today, Joe, based on the reaction we've gotten, just how many Titans fans seem to be absolutely out of it before the season even starts.
Yeah, I still think the Cala haters is a much smaller group. I think sometimes it's just the loudest group. The Cala, hold on a second, there's, I think that's a larger group of people. You know, so what else do we have? We have the Cam Do's and what was the other one?
Well, it was the Cam Don'ts. Cam Do's and
Cam Don'ts.
Is that
it? Just
right?
Cam Do's and Cam Don'ts?
Yeah.
I thought there was something else.
Wards.
Oh, maybe that was another one.
There was
I can't
a
keep
ward
up with
something.
Rex
Ward, are you doing?
Yeah.
The Wards are you doing?
Cam Do's and the Ward are you doings.
Good job. Ian coming in clutch.
Good pull. There you go.
Ian coming
so you
in
got
clutch.
Those people, and then you got the Cala haters and the Cala. Hold on. I'd say I'm on. You know, I think the hold on people are all right. You know, good point made by a few people on text line today, which is so these Titans fans. Are you also Titans fans who have been screaming at Amy about firing everybody?
Yeah,
and then you're like, no, keep doing it. But you are a bad owner for firing everybody. But fire him, him too. Fire.
Well, I said like there's a. The charge is now on Brian Callahan to demonstrate something this year, right? Like, because I would argue
absolutely
that he demonstrated nowhere near enough last year. Like, there's not very many things you could point to last year. It was like, yeah, I felt really good about Brian Callahan in that particular situation walking away from the season last year. So, look, I understand. Like, from the standpoint of circumstances around him, it's not that much different heading into this year on the surface. Like, they've got a rookie quarterback. And we'll see how good or not good he is from the jump. But, like, it's still a roster that you look at and you're like, yeah, this isn't a very good roster. Like, and the Titans have basically openly admitted that. Like, every time you ask Brinker and Borgonzi about it, it's like, yeah, well, you know, we're trying to get better. So the circumstances in some cases are still bad for Callahan walking into this. But the bottom line is this is the NFL. And at some point you've got to show that you can either elevate something or that you've got some answers out there as a head coach, or you're just not going to be around very long. And he's the charge is on him to display some of that this year.
There's no question. Some of it is just this sort of undefinable, you know, it's just a team that looks like it's well-coached because it didn't last year. It was a bad team, but it also too often didn't look like it was well-coached. Another question earlier, I forget the exact phrasing, but it was about Bill Callahan in this situation. One, he'd be the – obvious interim coach, but I don't think he'd be the interim coach. His son got fired. But it's like,
God,
to me,
what a day that would be on the show.
Yeah, how about that? But it's like the only excuse, I guess, like if the offense is bad, Cam can't get any traction or whatever, and it's because the offensive line continues to just be a sieve, and that's a problem, and they can't fix it. I mean, in a way, that's kind of a – that's the one, I guess, sort of excuse you could find with the offense and the things not working. But also, it would sort of, at some point, also maybe take some shine off what was one of the big
– yeah.
Big wins of hiring Brian Callahan is being able to get his dad and his offensive line coach. Like, that's got to get better.
I say, you know, I say people are going to blame Callahan right off the top if things don't go well. If the offensive line struggles again this year, yeah, we're going to look at, okay, was Skoronski a bad pick or Latham moving over to right tackles? That, yeah, we're going to look at those things. But it's also going to turn pretty quickly into, well, I thought this Hall of Fame offensive line coach was good. Why does all of a sudden he come here and they can't get anything figured out on the offensive line?
Could be a good Titans fan poll. Which Callahan are you more mad at, Brian or Bill?
Yeah, could be. I mean, it sounds like, I'll put it to you this way, and maybe it's just because we're not really looking for it, because the Cam Ward and every throw he makes is kind of what we're focusing on in camp, but it doesn't sound like there's been a whole lot of conversation of, oh boy, Latham and Moore are struggling out there at the tackle spots. Like, when you're not really talking about your tackles that much, that's a good thing in football.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I think it's more the interior people. Oh, my God, that's a freaky vision on Monday morning, Koharski. Wear a mask in here, will you? What was I going to say? Like, what?
When you're talking
about – how many shows are you going to screw up today,
the
Koharski?
The tackles you were talking about, of if you're not hearing about them, it's –
oh, yeah, we're hearing more about the – yeah, we're hearing a lot more about the interior people, yep. Which, again, I think that is where you actually have – you're going up against – someone who is pretty good,
yep,
and right now is moving pretty quickly. Number 98 there.
Mike from Nashville says, a good coach can make an average quarterback look good. Bad coach can make a good quarterback look bad. We'll see. I mean, again, if Ward struggles and there's not really any signs or significant signs throughout the year that it's getting better, I mean, Callahan's going to be the one that ends up paying the price for that and certainly takes the blame for that from the fan base. So it's crucial early for them to look like a competent football team. Like, you're not going to – nobody's expecting that the Titans to go out there and win 10 games this year. But can you look like you've got a clue as to what's going on and, you know, moving the football on a somewhat consistent basis? Like, we recognize that you're going to be outclassed talent-wise in a lot of the games that you're going to be playing this year, but can you look like you got a clue as to what's going on out there,
yeah,
more often than you did last year?
False starts. I mean, yeah, all these things are, you know, I mean, they all play into a well-coached or a not well-coached team. But now we get to hear what on Wednesday. We'll finally get to hear from Brian Callahan about his profanity-laced tirade on Sunday.
Looking forward to it. We'll see if Tennessee football puts out any videos today where the quarterback is redacted from the video. Keep our eyes on that throughout the rest of fall camp. That does it for us today. Jake Lyman and Paul Kuharski coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.